Good morning, Hippie Radio.
Hey, Chris, John Mathis here.
Johnny, the Johnny Mathis?
Well, yeah, I think I am. Last time I looked.
Well, good morning. How are you, man? You doing good?
Yeah, I'm old, but you know what? I feel good.
Well, that's good.
And I sang a couple of songs the other day, and everything sounds okay, so I'm a happy guy.
Well, you better sing well. You got a concert to do here in Nashville, brother.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm looking forward to that big orchestra. Gorgeous.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to sing with one of the best, man. Grammy Award winning. They're so good. Our Nashville Symphony is absolutely amazing. And I can't wait for you to come. Well, thanks for calling this morning. You know what? I know something about you.
Yes?
I know that your daddy was your hero, and
right.
Probably best friends in the world. And he bought you a piano that he had to disassemble to get in the house. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I think someone gave it to him and said, "You can take it if you can, take it apart." And we lived there were nine of us, if you can imagine, living in 1, 2, 3, 4, about 5 rooms.
I had 8 in about the same size,
and,
Johnny, I know.
Dad had to disassemble the piano to get it in the front door, this tiny little front door. And it was in the middle of the night, and we were all wondering what he was doing out there. And about 5 o'clock in the morning, we heard this tinkling on the piano. First of all, we never knew that Dad could play the piano, and then we were happy to have a piano in the house.
Was that the start of you seeing something that could have been that you were interested in, that you loved? Was that the start of it all for you?
Well, you know what? I was just thinking about that, and I don't really know, but I'm sure it helped a great deal to have some accompaniment to whatever I was going to sing.
Sure.
But, you know, I was very young at the time. I must have been 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah.
So who knows? I think all these little things that come along by accident, for instance, the piano, getting in the house, all of these things have a great effect on a little young kid like me.
Sure.
And that might have had an awful lot to do with the outcome of my musical career.
Mm-hmm. Growing up, who was Johnny Mathis' influence? Who were the guys that you liked and heard that you really, I don't know whether you want to say mimicked or whatever, because I don't think anybody ever sounded like you ever. But who was the people that you enjoyed listening to or were inspired by?
In the beginning of when I started to listen to music, it was all coming from my dad, and it all was coming from the radio. Because it was free. There were 9 of us. You keep telling everybody, how many brothers and sisters. I had 7 brothers and sisters, my mom and my dad. And we all lived in this little house in San Francisco. And there was music everywhere, a lot of jazz clubs. And that, of course, influenced me because my dad would sneak me into the back door sometime and let me listen to the jazzers. And over the years, I've had a lot of friends who have influenced me. And goodness knows how I ever figured out what I was going to sound like, because I listened to the same people that were famous at the time, people like Nat Cole and Frank Sinatra and Billy Eckstein and all these extraordinarily gifted men singers. But mostly I liked the women singers because their voices were very flexible.
Mm-hmm.
The men always sounded like this, blah, 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 blah. But the women had a lot of flexibility in their voices, and I always liked the fact that they sang different songs.
Yeah.
So, but I had a wonderful just the fact growing up in San Francisco, there was music everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'll be forever grateful to the gods for having me being born and raised there.
Let's fast forward to the mid-50s. How did you know you were going to do this for the rest of your life? I know that probably by then you knew you wanted to be a solid singer, but you came along Columbia Records. In fact, I think you're probably one of the longest signed groups by Columbia ever, and probably the third, I think third or something like that, of any other labels. Tell me how this all came to you. When did you find out, boom, I'm going to make a career out of this?
Well, I had the opportunity, of course, to be heard by the people who were in charge of music at Columbia Records. And the ones that that were most excited about my singing were jazzers, the guys in charge of jazz. They yeah. wanted me because my voice was flexible, and I could sing high and I could sing low and, you know, in the middle and everything. So they expected me to have a career as a jazz singer, and I was all for it. The only thing is that being involved with a big record company like that, everybody heard you, and Mitch Miller heard me and said, you know, as you know, we got to remember, I was 18 years old, yeah. and I was listening to everybody. So I couldn't wait to do what Mitch Miller wanted me to do, and that was to sing some songs. And there was a guy by the name of Ray Conniff who was beginning his career, and he agreed to help me and to find a couple of songs. And he came to me and said, I got four songs. He said, and I said, well, what are they? And he said, one's called Wonderful, Wonderful. The other one's called It's Not For Me To Say. The other's called Warm and Tender. And I can't remember the other one. But anyway, those were the first songs that I recorded with Ray Conniff. And therein lie the beginning of my career.
That's absolutely amazing. I'll tell you, here's what I love. And this goes back right to the heart of Johnny Mathis, and there's no mistaking who Johnny Mathis is when you hear him sing. This is the heart of a unique style singer. His first hit was in 1957 with Chances Are, as far as on the charts. Then you turn around, and another hit 1978 with Too Much, Too Little, Too Late with Denise Williams, which we're going to play here in just a second. Now, you stop and think about that, because Johnny Mathis released a greatest hits collection, and it was on the charts for 490 continuous weeks. That's unbelievable. With two major hits on the charts, 490 weeks? That's amazing.
I was over the moon about it. Couldn't believe it, of course. But it started a process that I have, you know, been blown away about all of my my professional career.
Sure,
it put me in a situation where I had the access to every kind of music that I could ever be interested in.
Yeah.
And, of course, I had the wonderful people helping me all along the way.
That record is even in the Guinness, is noted in the Guinness Book of World Records for continuous weeks on the charts. Nobody's ever done that. Now, they say in here that it was knocked off by Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, but that was not a continuous weeks on the charts. That's just remarkable, man. And I got to tell you, you know, I love your voice, man. And I tell you, you know, I know you've had a few hits, but your Christmas stuff, man, it's like snow. it's beautiful. You know what I mean? And it's classic and timeless. And that carried you right through all those years, a lot of that, didn't it? The Christmas stuff?
Well, when you come from a large family like I do, Christmas is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because you get a lot of stuff, and most of it's free.
Yeah.
But because everybody's in a very generous mood during the holidays.
Yeah.
And that was the essence of what I wanted to do. I wanted to sing the songs that I heard, when I was a little kid at the house. Mm-hmm. And they were Christmas songs. And when I got my first opportunity to make a Christmas album, I was over the moon. And fortunately for me in my career, Christmas music has played a big part in my career.
That's absolutely dynamite. I love it. I just love it. Saturday, November 16th, my special guest on the phone here this morning, Johnny Mathis, the Voice Romance Tour, coming to Skirmerhorn Symphony Center on November 16th with your Nashville Symphony. It's going to be absolutely dynamite. Johnny has a box set out, a couple of them, as a matter of fact. The Voices of Romance, you might want to check that one out. That is almost like an essentials type of Johnny Mathis collection. And there's also a collection that he released called The Great New American Songbook. And that happened back a couple of years ago. Now, let me ask you a question. How did you get hooked up with Kenny Babyface?
Well, you know, we're all looking for avenues to not only... do something a little different.
Yeah.
But what happens is that your creative juices never stop, and to get opportunities like I've had over the years, meeting, for instance, like Babyface, I never knew that he knew that I existed, but I happened to run into him, and he said, you know, how about let's try some stuff?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, of course, because I knew his stuff.
Yeah.
And we're always, I think, especially musicians, we're always interested in trying other things, and I've been very fortunate in that respect. And, of course, the more things you try, sometimes the luckier you get, and some of them work, and if they work, then you'll be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been very, very lucky in that respect. I'm counting my blessings.
Well, I want to tell you something, my friend. You've been there since the beginning. You are an American music icon. Everybody knows that voice. That's how Babyface knows who you are. Everybody knows your voice, Johnny. You're an American music icon. It has been an absolute honor, not just a pleasure, but an honor to be able to have you on my show. And I thank you so much and can't wait till the show on November 16th, man. We love you, brother.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to singing with that big orchestra.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to hear it, too. Johnny Mathis, Saturday, November 16th, Skirmerhorn Symphony Center. Let's give it up for him. Johnny Mathis. Woohoo! Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.